This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Lulu and Michael podcast for all the bits you missed
from Joy 94.9.
Big show on the way, haven't we, Lulu? I don't think your mic is on, my love.
Yes.
That's it.
Oh, that's why I couldn't hear anything.
I was missing your voice.
Well, I was wondering if I was just talking to myself.
Well, we often do, don't we? When you're at Joy. I know we've got a big one on the way. Loads and loads of great guests. Loads of great music. It's always the same with us, isn't it?
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to hear them.
We will. I feel like we will. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Look, John's on. That's good.
Good on you, John.
I think we've got something faulty behind the panel here called John.
Well, it's better you doing it than us, mate.
That's true. Yeah, no one would be on if we were doing it. We are online all the time.
Yeah, man. It is Lulu and Michael. I think you've got the devil in you today, haven't you?
I have a little bit.
A little naughty.
Can you tell?
I can.
That's why they turned me off at the start.
But you're on now.
I'm on.
You are really on.
Look out.
And, well, we were just having a little bit of a word, weren't we, about George.
About Boy George. Caught up with my friend.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
It was good.
We
it was really
loved
good.
It. I don't know if anybody went. If you want to let us know, why don't you give us a message if you loved it?
Yeah, or if you didn't.
Culture Club were amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
There was Culture Club, Kids in the Kitchen. I didn't see Kids in the Kitchen or Danny.
I didn't either.
Why not?
I did watch a bit of Danny.
Did you?
And then I was busy.
Having a drink.
I went to the bar, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you might have.
Yeah. But I watched all of Culture Club.
Yeah.
And they were amazing.
They were amazing. I loved his outfits too.
And just after all these years, you just wonder, don't you? Think, oh, be good, you know.
Well, I read stuff too about them saying he wasn't as good. And I'm like, he was actually better, I reckon.
Right.
He was more relaxed.
Oh,
he
my God. It was like a lounge room, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I love Laver.
He was so good.
Loved it.
Loved it. Loved
and you
George.
Got the most amazing photo with the band.
I did.
And your mum and your sister.
My mum and my sister. Because my friend David does styling. He does all George's outfits.
Right.
And I've known George for a long time.
Yeah, you met him.
Because I met him in London.
Girly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I actually got a message from him in the morning from George.
Amazing.
Which was very surreal, waking up to a voicemail from Boy George.
Yeah, but, it's never happened to me.
Saying hello and we're in Melbourne and come to my show. So that was really lovely. And, we caught up just very quickly because it was like, I'm getting ready for my show. Get out.
Yeah.
But, no, it was good to see them and catch up very quickly.
Well, it is a great photo. I think we should get that on our wall, don't you?
Yeah, why not?
On our Lulu Michael wall. We are on Facebook. All you got to do is go to Lulu and Michael on Facebook and like us.
Yeah, you can like us.
That would be nice because we live for likes.
We do.
We do.
Isn't that funny how you live for a thumbs up these days?
Oh, I'd like a thumb right up. Welcome, Barb Younger.
Hello.
Now, you've got a gig tonight.
No, tomorrow and Friday.
Tomorrow, is it?
Tomorrow and Friday, Bird's Basement.
Yes.
New
brand
place.
New. Yeah, been open only a couple of months, I believe.
Looks really nice, you know. And they've got great people coming. Whoa. I mean, I'm really excited about playing that.
Yes. Well, I mean, this is Melbourne now. How many trips have you done to Melbourne?
It's a really good question.
I think four, actually.
This is my fourth. Yeah, because the very first time, this is my fifth time in Australia, four times I've been to Melbourne. The first time I only came to Adelaide.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just left Adelaide, haven't you?
I just came from Adelaide yesterday.
Did you do the festival?
Yeah, I did.
How was that?
Gorgeous. It was really gorgeous. Had such a nice time. Really wonderful. I did a collection show, a Kurt Vile thing, that I was suddenly found myself doing, you know, and with Robin Archer. And of course, she's a legend. So that was fantastic. And I know her through a friend, so that was just kind of extra gorgeous.
Wow.
So and that was all
in what way did you get into that then? How are you all of a sudden in that?
They just said, you're doing this.
As well as your own gigs.
Yeah. You know when people say, oh, and you're doing this, and you go, am I?
Yeah.
And you think, I don't remember anybody ever mentioning that. And, and then you think, oh, well, perhaps I said I would do it.
That's a good way of getting people into things, isn't it?
Yeah.
People always say that. So I just, on the way here, I got things saying, and I know I'm going to see you on Sunday night. Well, I thought, well, no, because I'm getting off a plane at 6 in the morning. morning on Sunday. I'm not seeing anybody on Sunday that isn't in my bed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's the only
Maybe
thing
Maybe that's
I'm
what
seeing.
They meant.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They meant out at a theatre. See, and I had to write and say, I'm sort of no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But as that's now my current kind of way of being, I go, really? Am I? Oh, right. Yes, because I've no idea what's going on anymore.
We have to remember that if we want to invite you somewhere, we just say that.
Yeah, easily.
Exactly.
And, but it isn't Vile that you're doing at Bird's Basement, is it? It's Dylan and Cohen.
It's Dylan and Cohen. Dylan Cohen, my little nephew, when I told him I was doing an evening of Kurt Vile, said he can't be called that. I said, no, he is. His name is Kurt Vile. It's a W. I said, you know, it's German. And he went, Kurt Vile. And it's given him so much amusement that I think Kurt Vile, even Kurt Vile in that great bar in the sky,
would
might
laugh.
Find that funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Dylan and Cohen. I'm singing Dylan
you
and Cohen.
I mean, you've been doing this. I saw you do it in London.
I love them, don't I?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, now the reputation and the reviews from Adelaide were that it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And
They've been very nice. I have to say, and I mean, it's material I love doing, and it's in your face.
What is it that you love about it?
Well, I love it because it's political material. It's quite philosophical, it's political. And of course, my show on Monday, we'd had the news overnight, you know.
Yes.
And so I thought, well, I can't sing this collection and not acknowledge what's happening in the world today.
That's
These
right.
songs are exactly about this. I sing Masters of War. Mm-hmm. You fasten all of the triggers for the others to fire. Then you stand back and watch while the death count gets higher. Do you know, let's hear the NRA talking. Let's hear the NRA talking
yeah, exactly.
now. And fast. And fast.
Which they're not.
Surprise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Surprise. You know, too much money. There's too much money in all of this. It's all the same. That's everything Dylan talks about. Money and greed and corruptible seed.
And your gigs, I love your voice, which is the main reason to go to see a singer, really. But it is the fact that you do like to have a natter with your...
I was trying to think of what other reasons you could
Well, you do like to have a natter with your audience.
There are other reasons. You've got to have... Yeah, the personality in between's good too.
Yeah, if you get that as well with somebody, it's all right if you go to... So I think if you go to see Tracy Chapman, you know you're most likely just going to get the voice, you know, the band and everything that goes around it, but she's not going to engage that much with you, you know, and you know that generally. You engage, you like to engage with your audience, you actually have a laugh with them.
I do. I mean, you know this, because we come from the same kind of background, and we're I call it old school, I call it entertainment, you know, and it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're doing the darkest, well, let's take, as a for example, King Lear. You know, it's still entertainment. It's still entertaining. If it's not entertaining, it's called a lecture.
Yes. Mm.
You know, it's got to be entertaining. And also, I think that the more kind of serious the material is, the more you have to engage with people, because otherwise it feels a bit like, you know, we're all, you know, standing outside, I don't know, in the rain.
The thing is,
which we are, by the way, as we know, we are all standing outside in the rain, but it's nice if we feel as though the sun comes out now and again.
That's correct. But the thing is, I think it comes naturally to some people, obviously naturally for you. But I saw Mariah Carey, she actually was wheeled out, and that wasn't even a joke. She was wheeled out onto stage because she couldn't walk in her dress at the start.
I thought that's hilarious.
I know, it was funny. And I just thought, oh my God, for a start. And then in between, she didn't really talk. She just went into each song. And by about the third song in, I thought, I could actually go now. I've seen her.
Mm. Yeah.
That's enough. Mm. You know,
yeah, because otherwise you could just
go home and listen to the CD.
Exactly. That's exactly. Yeah, precisely. And everybody that we like, everybody that we know, everybody, all our mutual friends.
Yes.
It's, I mean, we know each other from Julian Clary, as you know.
Yep.
And with whom we've both worked for years and years and years, and who's a great friend of both of us. And that was, for me, working with Julian was a real lesson in, because he was the first out performer on British television, and he was entertaining, and
exactly.
that's what worked. What worked was that all of those things were as one. I mean, you know, bless his heart. We're sending that picture to him. You know that, don't you?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And I think at the moment it's a, you know, like I think just before we went on, you know, we're always this way. We're always up and we're always, you know, that because it's what we're like in life. Anyway, I think there's now even a greater need to be like that.
Oh,
and there's an even greater need to be proud to be GLBTI, you know, and also the wider community that that embraces that.
Absolutely.
Even more of a need, you know.
Absolutely. No, there is a need for us all to stand up and say, no, we have the right to be who we are. We have the right to be who we are in this world, and no one has the power to stop that.
No,
no one should have the power to stop that. And we're all, and I think that's the important thing, is that we're all together. I come from an inclusive background.
Mm.
My background is we are together, women, all of us, men, all of us, whoever you are, purple, disabled, abled, whatever, yep. I don't care. That is, we are one. We are one.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And without that, we're fighting those people in power in a very fractured way. We got to be together now. We are more than ever.
That's right.
I totally agree. We are, well, we've got birdsbasement.com is the website. And you're going to go and see Barb Junger at Bird's Basement. It's tomorrow night and Friday night. We are going to go out on one of your tracks, Barb, right now. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Enjoy Melbourne.
I will.
Please welcome Catherine McLemon. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're going to get right in on these mics.
Oh, okay, of course.
They're one of those ones, those temperamental ones. You've got a real event coming up.
An event called The Event.
At the Malthouse, I believe, called The Events. Obviously, we always love our guests to give us a little bit of a rundown of what's it about, because no one does it better than you. What is The Events about?
Well, it's a play that was commissioned after the Norwegian massacre that happened on that island.
Right.
And it was a Norwegian company and a Scottish company. And they got together to produce this play. And every night a different choir comes on stage. There's two actors who perform the piece. And a different choir comes on stage. It's like a musical. They perform the music that was written for the show and their own stuff from their own choir. And together we present this piece. About,
wow.
Yeah, it's really quite
bizarre.
Amazing. Yeah. I know. We've just done it for 4 weeks in Sydney, and we had like 26 choirs or something that came on.
And they obviously audition, don't they?
They apply, right. And then they're given the score for the play, you know, a few months before, and varying degrees of success.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Harmony.
As it was bound to be, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. But, yeah, you know, most 30 strong voices and quite special.
Wow. Mm. I mean, that must be, that's always going to be different than for you guys, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. You know. Yeah. And they come on stage and do various bits and pieces. We get together an hour before the show.
Do you mean like
show?
Moving props and set? And
no, we don't let them do that.
No.
No, but act. Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah.
No,
anyone could do it.
Yeah.
Dime a dozen. We are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we do a bit of that's part of the show. And,
It's format. Obviously a very difficult subject matter, even as it were, let alone now. It's obviously even more poignant, I guess.
I know.
But it's obviously something that's very difficult to talk about. But I mean, that's what the subject matter is, isn't it? In what
it
way
is.
Do they get into that? How do they talk about it?
My character is a minister, an Anglican, or doesn't really say, but certainly not Catholic,
sure.
Of a congregation. She runs a choir, and the choir that she ran were victims for one of these events. And it's her journey. The journey of the play is her attempt to understand why it happened, who did, and why they would do such an event. And that's the sort of drive of the play. And within
which
that...
Which is what we all want to know, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. And of course there is no black and white answers. And I think that's what the play starts to sort of explore is the greys, the grey areas. And within that there's music, and it's all sorts of different sorts of music. And so there's a sort of a joyful... sort of experience for the audience, and so we can contemplate these very dark matters.
It must be really, I mean, it must be difficult working with non-actors in a show that is so full of drama.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, you never work with children or animals or choirs. I think because after the show, often they don't even know I was on. They say, yeah, but how about that girl in the third row that wore the bright shirt? Yeah. You know, but I mean, that's the nature of the piece. It's about community and it's about that sort of celebration.
Yeah. So do they do much of the acting
No. Not really. They have two scenes that sometimes they don't know they're going to do it and they do it on the night. Sometimes they've rehearsed themselves into it, depending on the choir. And, they're beautifully written, simply written, and quite funny.
Yeah.
So it works very well in the piece.
And who's the other actor?
Johnny Carr, young actor from Melbourne. He's doing it. He was recently in What Rhymes With Cars and Girls at the MTC, which did very well. Yeah, very
and
good.
And is there any nights you haven't got anyone? Because we like, you know. No, I mean, you know, we're willing to, maybe the three of us. You know.
How big does the choir have to be?
Well, I think we're like 30 plus. We really like
I'm a lot older than that. Can we bring the music, you know.
Yeah,
do they get to use the music when they're there? Or
yeah,
they
you can read it, yeah, and there's a piano there to keep you on tune. Okay. So
I don't need that. I mean, that would be helpful. I guess, this is... something that it's great that it's got lighter moments in it.
Oh yeah, I mean, how else?
You know, we don't want to be bombarded wholly with that.
It's such a unique idea. I wonder how to come up with an idea to even write a play about such a full-on topic. I mean, I understand that because there's a lot of dramatic people out there that think, what can we write about? But to suddenly go, let's write about it and then put a choir in it every night is so
bizarre. Is that the way to break it up, I guess, is it?
I think it's part of what the piece is trying to say, is that how do we create community in this sort of world, in a multicultural world, in a world that people are trying to break up those communal events, you know, where people are afraid to gather. And so the choir sort of represent that.
I can understand that, but I can't understand it being not an acting choir, like not just actors playing a choir. That's what I find is so unusual.
Well, the choir, they don't get any money, I suppose.
The experience,
That's the way my mind works as well.
But also part of it is we have a different choir every night.
That's what I mean. Like, and it's so unique.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's great.
I think for the audience,
and
it's
a
like
different audience that follow the different choir. Yes. I get it now.
Yeah, so like we had school shows in Sydney, and so we got the Newtown Performing Arts School Choir to perform for them because it's partly the audience seeing themselves on
stage.
What
was the reaction from a younger audience?
Oh, yeah, really fantastic. I mean, they always whoop if there's a kiss or if someone swears. There's a bit of swearing in it, and they just love that. Love it.
Community radio, can say what you like. All right, when is it on, Lulu?
It's opening on the 22nd of June at the Malthouse Theatre, and the tickets are at the malthousetheatre.com.au. How long is it on for?
That's a 3-week season.
Three weeks.
Mm. Yeah, 3 weeks.
That's a lot of choirs.
Oh, it really is. Wow. Well, we're glad that you can make
it. Sounds good. I want to see it.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
So hilarious, John. Did you do that on purpose at the time?
I have to save face and say, yes, I did that on purpose.
Lulu and Mike. Well, it's actually just Michael, because Lulu's Mike isn't going to be on the whole show.
I may as well not be here either.
You won't be next time.
Oh, dear.
I may as well not be.
Now, we have ended the little competition.
It's not a little competition.
Ween, haven't we?
We have ended it.
We're going to get a winner in a minute.
No more entries.
Any minute now.
Do we... We have another one.
Well, yeah.
We're not going to mention it now, but we do have another one.
Yeah, it's a ripper as well, isn't it?
They're so good. Both of them are really good, amazing. Amazing.
That is on the way.
It is on the way, as well as our many, many guests that we've got to come up.
Yes. Who's next?
Going on. We got Alexandra coming up.
Yes.
I cannot wait for that.
Who you love a bit of
I
Meryl.
I see me. I see you.
I did go out there and let her know, because she's doing a show called I See Me and Meryl Streep, and I let her know that you really love that movie.
Oh,
and that's,
I cannot wait.
I guess her mic will be on then.
Yeah. Everywhere I go, baby, all I see is...
I guess it will be.
Yeah, that's right.
Last night, Lulu, I went along to the launch of the Melbourne Cabaret Festival. And
sounds
it was
festive.
It was really good.
Was it?
It was a little snapshot of who's going to be on. This next young lady wasn't there last night.
No.
And she's got a good reason, and we'll get to that in a bit. But she's with us now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Alessandra Kenny. Welcome.
Hello.
Now, you have got a good reason, and we will get to that.
Sure.
But we are obviously a little bit excited about your cabaret show, because I don't really know if I know anyone that doesn't like Meryl.
Exactly.
It is one of those. She's one of those.
It would be blasphemous really, if you didn't like Meryl Streep.
Not right, isn't it? But the actual name of it is called I See Me and Meryl Streep. Is that right?
It absolutely
I've
is
got
right.
It right.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. let me go with a really dumb question.
Please.
What's it about?
Meryl Streep.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite cryptic. It's about a 17-year-old girl who idolises Meryl Streep. I kind of realised early on that I can't really play her because I'm 24 and that would be offensive. So it's kind of for anyone who's experienced fandom in their life.
Yeah.
So this girl absolutely adores Meryl Streep and considers it basically her life duty to pay homage to her,
mm-hmm.
and is doing a 30-minute presentation for her school drama class on an assigned performer, which is Meryl Streep. And she's invited her friends and family over to watch a rehearsal before she really does the big do in front of her class.
Does that mean then you can get it wrong because it's a rehearsal?
Exactly.
That's very smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very smart.
There's it's toys the line between where bits of amateurishness kind of enhance the show, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I did it in Brisbane a couple of weeks ago and I couldn't get one of the little dressing gown things I have on quick enough. So I just wrapped it around my neck and kept singing. And it works.
Which is exactly what Meryl would do anyway.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
she would
keep going.
Yeah. She would. Nothing. She would. Show must go on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, then I guess you've been, it doesn't matter how old you are, because it's irrelevant. Do you watch Meryl since you were a little girl? Then?
Absolutely.
Is that the idea?
Yeah. When I was about 12 and I became very earnest and decided I was going to be an actress and watched all of the great films and the great performances because I thought that's, you know, that's what you got to do. You've got to emulate the greats.
Yeah.
And she is the greatest.
What was number one? Do you remember what you watched in the beginning?
Probably The Hours, which is so it's an incredible film. But when you're 12,
it's pretty heavy going. Yeah.
But like, you didn't have Willy Wonka.
No. But like Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh,
and
God. Silkwood and all that. Yeah.
Silkwood. Yeah. I was a huge Silkwood fan at about 13 and would quote it to people at school and they'd have no idea what I was doing.
Where was Mum and Dad at this?
They're obviously around.
It's all right. She's watching Meryl.
Exactly.
She's watching Silkwood.
It's educational. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And vocally then, I mean, as much as I love Meryl, it isn't her voice.
Singer.
Yeah, it's not about her voice as such, is it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think she was probably, she had a soprano voice in her kind of earlier years. She trained as an opera singer when she was a young child. But I think she just adores music.
Mm.
And so it's obviously carried through. She sings so often. You go back through her catalogue and it's every second film she's singing in.
Really? Because I mean, you don't remember her really for the voice. Mm. Do you? It's that amazing acting.
Absolutely. But I think you look at her films of late and she sings in all of them. Yeah. So I'm like, maybe
didn't the last film, wasn't she playing a singer that couldn't sing?
Yeah. Florence Foster Jenkins was the most recent one.
I've not watched that. Did you watch
that? I haven't seen it either.
I did. It's lovely.
Do you watch everything with Meryl immediately?
Well, I
did. Do you get an alert
initially
on your mobile?
A Google alert on my mobile.
Meryl. Coming out
Thursday. I mean, especially since writing the show. I mean, I've always been a huge Meryl devotee, but probably not quite as much as the character I play in the show.
Yeah.
I might not have any friends if I was.
And why were you not at the launch last night?
I work on the television show Offspring, and we are filming its 6th series at the moment. We're halfway through the shoot. And, crazy hours.
And what is your role? I already know because you mentioned it, but what is your role? I love this.
It's a very bizarre job. I am the voice inside Nina's head. So, on set, she has someone who who does her voiceovers, so she knows how to react and how to respond. And
so you obviously have the biggest role in the whole show.
Absolutely.
She talks to herself all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time. She's always
And you don't have to learn any lines, I gather, because you just hold a script.
Oh, yeah, it's true. And I have to hide in very odd, because there's many scenes that you'll watch where I'm lying in the back of the car.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know, or weird kind of positions I have to hide myself in to, so I can't be seen by the camera but can still see Ash, because she'll, you know, give me a little head nod and that's my cue to go and stuff like that.
I mean, I've got that as well, loads of voices in my head, you know.
Hiding.
Do you have someone walking around with you?
I don't know. Every time I look, they're not there, but I still get the voice.
So it's lucky you're not seeing them as well, or people would think you were crazy.
I think you're right. Have you been doing that all of it?
I started on season 4, so I moved down from Brisbane about that time, and Ash called me on my 21st birthday and said, "Do you want to be the voice inside my head?" I said, "Yes, please."
Was that your gift?
That was my 21st present. Yeah,
because that's not a bad gift to get.
Oh, look, you can't really top it, can you?
No. Paid work
in the acting industry.
She doesn't get paid.
Yeah.
They're related, so no money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's freebie.
No way. Absolutely not.
Go on. Well, this show is on at Space in Paran. Now that's unusual, isn't it? They've set this up as a new venue.
Yeah, they've got this great hub in Paran, the Paran South Yarra area, with Chapel of Chapel and the Space, and all the shows are there. And then there's the Fringe Hub that's at the Butterfly Club. So it's this really great cabaret seating, 120 seat venue, which is perfect for cabaret. Mm.
Yeah, so that's going to bring that venue to life, because we need more venues, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
That's good that you're in there.
It's fantastic.
I mean, obviously we love the chapel, but it's great to be in there.
And absolutely. It's only over the road.
Oh, it's right there.
Easy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on the 21st and 22nd of June. It's easy to get tickets. Just go to melbournecabaret.com. And that's all you need to do.
And it all begins in earnest this evening, doesn't it?
It does. The whole festival starts tonight, which is fantastic.
Go to anything? Or
absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so excited. There's some great
And you've got a little bit of a, obviously, that's good. I think it's always a good idea to be in the second week.
It's perfect. Yeah, people can get excited.
Exactly.
You know?
And stand outside shows and tell them about yours.
Exactly. I've got a big life-size Meryl Streep cutout, so I'll just
Is that real? Yes. Really?
Wow.
Sit it in the audience.
Every penny. Yes.
You already had it anyway.
I didn't. Okay, I already had it.
Yeah.
She's in my bedroom.
It's a blow-up doll with her face on it.
Okay, we may have crossed a line.
Oh, Meryl.
I'm glad you made it. Oh, well, we didn't get you to do anything. I reckon if you're welcome to. Otherwise, I reckon the best way is to go along and see you do
Well,
it.
Yeah, you could.
Don't you
just
reckon?
Come along and see the show.
I wouldn't mind a snippet.
I'm Julia Child. I'm going to try to flip this thing over now, which is a rather daring thing to do. When you flip anything, you've just got to have the courage of your convictions, especially if it's a loose sort of mass, like, oh, that didn't go very well. Bon appetit!
Now, joining us on the line right now, we have the Victorian Commissioner for Gender and Diversity, Ro Allen. Are you there, Ro?
I am, Michael. How are you?
Very well indeed. And we wanted to get you on the line so that you could let us know all about the vigil that's happening tomorrow night.
Well, it is. And if you listen to Facebook, there's going to be a lot of people.
Yes.
So I've heard that there is Facebook invites and then there are real invites. But either way, I think this has touched so many people. We're going to be supported by a lot of people, and there'll be obviously a lot of LGBTI people there as well.
Yeah,
it's going to be cold.
It is going to be cold, so, but it's one of those. Up. It's one of those events that I know it's yeah, exactly right, and it's I know that I think a lot of people were waiting for there to be one in Victoria, and it's all happening tomorrow. Why do you think it's necessary for people to get along?
I think it's about showing some solidarity, and that's what we've called it, a Victoria show of solidarity for no foreigner, and to be with each other and to be part, you know, help each other through the grieving process is really important, and for our allies to stand with us, and they, you know, I've had multiple calls about what they can do, and that's certainly something that they can do as well.
Yeah, exactly. What is actually going to be going on at the event? Can you let us know a little bit more?
Well, I can. I believe you may be singing with the mass choir at the end. So I'm not sure if I'm giving it away, but I think there's a rendition of Somewhere Over the Rainbow and a bit of a sing-along. So
yes, I think there's a lot of the choirs in and around Melbourne are going to be joining in, aren't they?
Absolutely. And then there's a church service over the road at St. Paul's Cathedral that starts at 6. So we've coordinated with that.
Yep.
And just to let people know, yes, of course, there'll be LGBTI Latino person speaking as well, because many of the people that were killed were from a Latino background. So,
sure.
And there's a message from the acting consul general from the USA as well. So,
right.
It'll be quite powerful, I think.
Exactly,
so bring it to
yeah.
Just yeah. Don't bring your wax candle. That's one thing I'd like to say to listeners.
Yeah.
If you could bring battery candles, if you're going to bring a candle at all, Fed Square would be much appreciated of that.
And right.
They've been incredibly supportive and moved all sorts of things in heaven and earth for us to be able to be there tomorrow night. And hopefully it won't rain and I'll see you there.
Yeah, great. I mean, they've been going on all around the world, haven't they, these sort of vigils? And it'd be great for Victoria to be involved with one of their own, really. I mean, it's all about showing solidarity around the world, as you mentioned.
It is.
And it all begins at 5 o'clock tomorrow. You can get down there a little earlier if you like. And then, as you mentioned, the crossing over the road for it's around 6 o'clock as well. Isn't that right?
That's right.
All right, my love. Thank you very much for joining us.
In.
All the best. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Olivia Sharalamper.
That welcome. Was perfect. You said it really well.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. We're glad that you're on. Now, you're into this Eurovision, aren't you? You love a bit of Eurovision.
I do love my
Who
Eurovision.
Who doesn't love Eurovision?
Yeah, it's the best
well,
part of the year.
Everybody. Not everyone.
It's true, but I think it's the best part of the year. So
yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Now, I met you a little while ago because you were doing a show at Chapel of Chapel.
That's right.
And you were amazing in it.
Thank you.
What was that gig?
So I was playing Rose in Dogfight,
yep.
Part of Doorstep Arts Victorian premiere, which was really exciting. I had a beautiful role to play and told a beautiful story.
Yeah.
So now going on the different side of it and sparkling rather than wearing no makeup and telling a lovely story.
And what is the idea of this is that you want to be in next year's Eurovision?
Yeah. So, I mean, I started a series last year called Hashtag Live for Cunningham, which was me campaigning to play Elder Cunningham in the Book of Mormon. So it started off serious and then I kind of turned into a joke doing a two-part web series, and now I've continued the idea. It's just a different concept, and now I'm trying my luck at Eurovision, whether it's
and it'll be next year, obviously.
Yes, well, you know, I've missed out this year, and I'll be representing my motherland, Cyprus, not Australia. So
why not Australia?
Well, look, I wanted to, I think after doing Cunningham, I kind of lost who I was. You know, I thought I was going to join, you know, the Mormon church, and that wasn't really for me. And then I decided that I've got to go back to my roots. And my roots are Cypriot.
Yep.
Never been there. Can't speak the language. But I thought, you know, I'm going to get in touch with that side of me and try my luck. And, I mean, the idea kind of came up before Australia entered. So, I mean, you know, I could try my luck at Australia as well, see what happens.
You never know.
Never know.
Now, is the track that you're doing, is it in English or in...
Yeah, so mostly in English. There is a Greek word, probably the only Greek word I can speak.
Which is
Souvlaki?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no. It's Ella, which means come. So it's a song about... Yes, I know it sounds a little dirtier than what it is, but it is about equality and love and peace. So very Eurovision.
And you've been working, I guess, because so not only have you had to go to this studio to do this, you've also been doing the live stuff as well.
Yes.
And this all goes online tomorrow.
So you can jump online. So everything's on my YouTube channel or my Facebook page, which is the OC Project, which is my company. And we go online tomorrow at 6:30 p.m.
Right.
Yes.
And the idea then, everybody, is it on weekly, is it?
Yes. Yeah, once a week for the next 5 weeks. You'll kind of watch my journey of trying to get there, and we end with a little surprise video.
Will you do a little link on our Facebook?
Yeah, I can
page,
pop a link on
so
for
that we
you.
We can get people to watch it there as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And you've been... Oh, sorry, Lily.
I was going to ask, who wrote your final song?
It's been a collaboration between me and a lovely man called Nick Mitchell. Mm-hmm. So we've had a little... collaboration.
And have you gone, is it giving away too much to tell us whether you've gone for the big disco number or the ballad?
Oh, it's a bit of both.
Oh.
Yeah.
You'll see.
As long as the costumes are happening, that's all I care about.
Yeah, the costumes are happening.
And that's good.
And I guess that means then, what is it, glitter and all that?
Of course. You should see my apartment right now. There's glitter everywhere, and I've been inhaling it for a month now. So
they do call that the showgirl herpes.
Yeah,
you know that?
Well.
You can't get rid of it.
Definitely cannot get rid of it.
And it comes back when you don't.
Have you never heard that? Never.
That's my favourite.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, you've had it for years.
I've had it for years, and it comes back when you least expect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that, but I didn't know that was the name of it.
Showgirl
herpes. Yeah. Well, there was this story of the guy that was originally doing Rocky Horror, got a little bit of glitter down the eye
of
his willy.
Oh, no.
And it all swelled up, and he was unable to go on.
Ooh.
This is a story from Richard O'Brien, and So it does get it. That may have been herpes as well, though. I have no idea. Not my business.
Could have been something else.
But let's get back to something nice. Tomorrow night,
yes,
it all launches, and you've had some amazing guests.
Yes,
you?
I have. So I've been really lucky to be working with
some amazing. Yes.
Some amazing. Not all. No, they're all
we
great.
We realise it's probably going to get back to Dolly at some point. But I'm more interested in the other ones.
Yes, I've had Maria Mercedes, Vicky Pappas, John O'Hara, and Dolly Diamond.
Wow.
And some young up-and-coming performers as well, which has been exciting to get them on board.
Yeah. Cool. And what makes – this is a great idea. What makes you want to get into this sort of thing? Just another medium to be involved in, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, I did train in film and TV as well as music theatre, so why not put the two together and make it a whole lot different and sparkly?
And you're one of those, obviously, you know, like most people in this business, you like to be working.
Absolutely. Busier the better.
Yeah.
And exactly. More glitter.
Yeah, exactly.
So very
right.
lucky.
All right. Well, we're glad you could come in.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, we'll get a link coming up. Huge. All right. All the best. Olivia, shout out number.
Kylie Minogue, who's a little singer from Australia.
Oh, she's from Camberwell.
Yeah. She's going to be singing a theme song to Absolutely Fabulous the Movie.
Yay.
She'll perform Wheels on Fire, the Bob Dylan pen track, which opened every episode when the film was released in July. As a huge fan of the Ab Fab series, both Jennifer and Joanna are over the moon that she'll be singing the theme song, she said. According to The Sun, Jennifer Saunders wanted to keep Kylie's involvement top secret. Well
how did that work out?
The soundtrack also will include Paloma Faith, Jason Derulo and LaRue, as well as Julia Sawala covering Janis Ian's At 17, and the multi-talented Jane Horrocks is going to be doing Big Spender. Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley are Aussie bound. Let's get them in.
I can't wait. Let's get them in here to join 94.9.
How good would that be?
Are you listening, publicists?
Jen. She hates being called Jen, by the way, so let's not ring her up and ask that. Do you know, I've got some trivia for you.
Yeah.
Do you remember the second series of Ab Fab?
A little bit, yes.
Do you remember the car that they had? It was a little smart car.
That little licorice one.
The little blue one. And it was like had numbers all on the side and Joanna fell out of the boot.
Right.
That was my car.
No. What do you mean?
In London.
How was that your car?
It was my car.
How?
Because after they filmed the series, I bought it.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. So where is it now?
Still in London. I left London and I sold it.
Oh, you could have hired that out for tours. Have a tour in, you know, Edwina Monsoon's car and do a tour of London, of Cheswick and all the other posh, lovely places.
Do you know, it was the best car ever because it was so small. Everywhere I went, I would just park through barricades and in front of buildings and everyone just thought it was a promotional vehicle, so I never got a ticket.
It always reminded me of like a little licorice allsort.
Yeah, it was perfect. I loved it. It was a comedy car. It was perfect.
I love it.
Absolutely fabulous.
You've been listening to a Lulu and Michael podcast. Listen live every Wednesday afternoon from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.